Last week we started a new series of exploring our faith and the power that comes in faith, the power to move mountains, and it's based on the scripture you've already heard, but I'm going to say it again because it's worth it. These are Jesus' words from Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus answered, "For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." In this week and in the last week and next week and probably the next week after that, and hopefully every day, we're going to explore the idea of harnessing the power that God offers us in faith. It's quite a promise that just the littlest bit of faith can give you in that faith the power to move mountains. It's a big promise. Last week, we started to explore what that meant, and my mind went all over the place. We explored the chaos, the mountains before us, these big immovable objects that take up our horizon and perhaps block our path. And we wondered, is it movable? And we looked and found that it's actually moving. The mountains are both as solid as a rock. They are the fixtures of our horizon, the fixtures of our surroundings, and they are fluid, that they are on the move, that Mount Everest has shrunk 3 feet in the last 30 years. No, it grew. Sorry, Everest grew. What? I don't know. It didn't fall over. But it's moving. And there's other mountains that are shrinking because plate tectonics work that way. They move. And so if one landmass is going under another, the mountain there grows. And if this one's moving away, that mountain shrinks. These things that we've locked in as fixtures, these things that we've placed in our ideology as immovable are on the move. And as we dig into science and hold both science and faith in balance, we start to see that what sometimes feels like chaos, once we dive in, that science is simply the language of order. That once we dive into something that we don't know anything about, we start to find mathematics to it, find logic to it. That it's been created perfectly in order. As chaotic as it might feel or seem, that there is order to it. And that order is God's signature. That's God's handiwork. That when we do dive into the chaos, we will find in it order. And when we can find order, we have peace. There's something to gain from finding order in chaos. 2 weeks ago, Mike and myself and Amy and my kids went to annual conference, the gathering of all the United Methodists in Michigan, or at least their representatives from every church in the United Methodist system in Michigan. We gathered for a time of prayer and worship and wondering what the future holds, and we were blessed with a teacher and a preacher who was the highlight of the week. His name's Reverend Dr. Ronald Bell, and he is a dynamic speaker and thinker, and just was an amazing blessing for us to hear him help us work through all that is before us. But as he spoke, he lifted up a quote that stuck with me and it stuck with everyone because it resounded. It became kind of the theme. And the quote is from F. Scott Fitzgerald, the writer of the Star-Spangled Banner, who also wrote these words: "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in the mind at the same time and still remain the ability to function." There's so much truth there. That is the sign of a first-rate intelligence, to be able to hold two things that don't seem like they go together, to hold them in balance and still be able to walk and breathe and talk and function. And that became kind of the theme of our time together, but it bothered me. I kept thinking, well, what about the rest of us? What if it's not about intellect? Maybe it's not about how smart you are that you have to be super intelligent in order to what really is function in life. Because in life we have to hold in balance things that don't make sense together. That the mountains are both rock solid monuments on our horizon, and they are moving in this moment. We have to hold that in balance. And so when I got home from annual conference and it was still bothering me, you know, sure, first rate intellect people have this gift of being able to still function, but what about the rest of us? And I looked up that quote, and that's not where he stops. The quote goes on, and I really wish he would have shared the rest of it, but I'm going to share it with you. It says, "One should, for example, be able to see that things are hopeless and yet be determined to make them otherwise." That one, that I can work with. Because if the goal is high intellect, it's hopeless for me. When we look at the horizon of the world today and this is what it's saying, that maybe intellect wasn't the right word. Maybe the word is wisdom. You can have wisdom without having a high IQ. You can possess wisdom. And wisdom is looking at the future and seeing hopelessness and still being determined to change it. That might even be naive. It might even be ignorant. But there's hope in it. Hope to change what looks like it's immovable, what looks like chaos, what looks like hopelessness. When we hold in balance things that do not seem like they go together and still move forward to that goal, there is wisdom in that. We started last week to look at that balance of math and science versus God and faith, and how the world has seemingly tried to separate those things as if they were not the same. Somehow that faith is in opposition to science. And we wondered about the chaos that was in the very beginning when God's Spirit hovered over the world, and the world was this chaotic mass. And he put it into order. He said, "Let there be light, so that there's day and night, and it was good. Let the waters separate from the waters, and it was good. Let the mountains separate the waters, and it was good." God brought the chaos into order. And when we dive into that chaos, we will find order. Last week, I get excited at the beginning of sermon series because it's just this new seed of things that I want to share. And so the first one's usually the hardest for me. We went like 20 minutes longer than usual. And I just have so much information that I want to get out there. And one of those things that I kind of just threw out without really looking into it was about space and earth and the movement of our universe and the movement of time. And so I had some time to go back and make sure I wasn't just throwing out garbage. It's real. When we look at science and chaos and how sometimes they feel like facts, and even within those facts there is fluidity. Just like the mountains look solid and yet they are moving, when we talk about 2 minutes, 2 minutes seems like it should be 2 minutes, and yet it can be different at different places. This was first theorized by Einstein in 1907, that 2 minutes is different depending on where you are. And it was proven by 1915 that the closer you are to the core of gravity, so for Earth, it is the closer you are to the center of the Earth, the slower time goes. And the further you are away from the center of gravity, the faster time goes. And so if we set two clocks and I went to Death Valley or the Dead Sea, well, I don't know why we name the lowest places after death, but those are the two of the very lowest places on Earth, where if you set a clock there and you set it at exactly the same time as another clock and put it on the top of Everest, after time, you brought those back together, the one that was higher would have gone faster. The one that's further away from the center, time goes faster. Not by much, but it's noticeable. And they were able to prove that. It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat to think about that something we rely on as absolute solid fact is still moving. That we can hold and balance those two things, that yes, it is a solid rock and it is fluid. Now, I want to know, just out of curiosity, when I first said that last week, or maybe you're first hearing it this week, how did you receive that? Did you receive that as, wow, I'm going to go look that up when I get home? Wow, he's just talking again, and that's just nonsense, and I'll listen more next week, but... What is your state of mind in this world? Is it open to new information? Or do we lock in on what we learned in third grade science and never move on beyond that? Do we lock in on what is printed in a school book in 1950 versus what's in there in 2022? Because it's different. It's still the same. It's based on the same organization, the same math, but it's expanded. A lot of times, we in science and in faith and in our wisdom get locked in on what we learn 30, 300, 3,000 years ago. And when we lock in, we no longer are fluid. We are no longer part of the balance. When we lock in so tight on a fact that it's unchangeable, we fail to see the balance that it's also fluid. And if you don't believe the time thing, let's test it out. When you were younger, no matter how old you are yet, right now, when you were younger, do you remember ever hearing someone who seemed very old to you? So maybe when you were 5 or 8, someone that was maybe your grandpa. Do you remember someone saying, time sure seems like it's moving faster? Right? The older you get. Exactly. Exactly. And I thought, these old people. And now Amy and myself, last week, time just needs to slow down. Oh my gosh, where is the time going? It's going faster and faster. Where is it going? Well, let's put that theory to work. Did you know that the sun is losing mass? Absolutely, right? It's putting out energy. The sun has a huge mass. Thank God. Because I even wrote a fact down today. Hold on. The sun loses 174 trillion tons per year. Per year, 174 trillion tons of weight, of mass, is lost by the sun. What did we learn? The more mass, the more gravity. And if the center of our gravity is losing mass, then time is what? Faster. So yes, time is going faster than it was 3,000 years ago. Because the center of our time is based on the sun and our revolutions around it, and it is losing mass. And so gravity is less, and when gravity is less, time is faster. And so 174 trillion tons per year. So when my grandpa told me 40 years ago that time sure seems like it's flying, it had lost, since then, when I thought he was crazy, to now, in 40 years, it's lost whatever 40 times 174 trillion tons is. That's how much mass the sun has lost. So yes, time is going a little bit faster than it was. And it seemed, when you were young, to be normal. And maybe over time you've noticed a shift. That thing that we've locked in as solid fact is fluid. Now, thank God the sun is as big as it is. Because when something loses mass, whatever is in orbit of that mass, there's not as much gravity, so the thing drifts away. Like the earth. And so what we have is the center of our orbit, the sun, and us floating, depending on the mass of the sun to hold us in orbit. And it's losing mass rapidly. But it would take 650,000 years that's how big the sun is, that in 665,000 years, the orbit of the sun slips out by 1 kilometer. And that's not enough to change everything. It's not enough to shut us down or everything. I mean, climate change or whatever. But things change, but we're still here and protected and beloved. And those numbers can feel like chaos, or they can feel like peace. They can feel like chaos when you realize, even in that, in the sun and the moon and the earth all twirling around, that those things themselves are also twirling around at light years of speed. That can feel like chaos, but when we dive into that chaos and see there's a language written into it that's ordered, like it was made perfectly, just like you might feel like chaos here or maybe up here. But when we dive in, it's perfectly ordered. You are perfectly made. Amen. And it's okay to be both perfectly made and a mass of chaos. And it's okay to hold those things in balance and go forward, to move forward to a hope. It's a sign of wisdom. I had to cancel out all my puns about matter, except to say that you matter. That your position in faith matters, because it is just like that. Where you position yourself in life and in faith matters to the power that God has offered in faith that can flow through you. You have been given, in 1610, up until 1610, every single person thought that the earth was the center of the universe. Every single person. That was what was taught. That's what was learned. That was what was shared. That was the fact. If you went to church and said it didn't, you might be put to death that day. And yet one scientist had the audacity to think, maybe I don't know everything. Maybe we don't know everything. Maybe it's worth exploring what's really going on. And they discovered that the sun is the center of our galaxy, and that our galaxy is in orbit to a whole universe. Thank God those people had the audacity to say, maybe I don't know everything. It's humility, humbleness. Humbling ourselves gives us a position of power. Power to gain wisdom in science, power to gain power in faith. Our scripture today speaks of that position. And as I read the scriptures from Philippians chapter 2, I want you to hold in balance the spectrum of power, that God is both most high, absolute ruler and creator of all things, the one who wrote into existence all of life and everything thereafter, put it all in order, also humbled himself to the most lowly position. And it was in that position in which death was conquered, that sin was conquered. Hold those in balance as we move toward the future. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In our relationships with one another, in our relationships with God, in our faith, we are called to have both the same mindset as Jesus and the same humble position if we are to call ourselves followers. And that means we have to hold in balance the same positions that Christ held and holds. Christ is both the highest king and the servant to servants, the one who has put himself to nothing below the broken, the one who comes from underneath to lift up the ones who are hurting the most. And that is where his power flowed. Because what God did from this position of creation and high throne in creating the universe and all of its glory and all the things we don't even know yet is nothing compared to the work that he did from that most humble position. The power that flowed from that place is greater than all of creation because he's corrected the course. In that position of humble power, he cured the lame, gave sight to the blind, fed the starving. He conquered sin and death and left that as the template for where we ought to be. We get to see glimpses of this. I call them, oh my God, moments. Because we don't tend to reside in that position of most humble servant. Just our nature, we tend to lift ourselves up, to say, you know, maybe I'm up here, maybe I'm climbing the scale. That's not the goal. There's no power there. The power is in that humble position. And in those moments of life when chaos just is all for you, and you realize there is nothing you can do within your own power to change the situation around you. It is desperate. Those moments when we call out, oh my God, when we have nothing in our own power to do anything and all we can do is call out for God, it's in that instant that we are humbled and that God's power flows. Think of those times when you've seen something miraculous. It is not by our own hand. It is when we say, I can't do anything about it. I'm not where I thought I was. God, in your power, do your thing. Through me, if you so choose, God. Use me. When we humble ourselves through that, to that position, that's when God's power flows. That's when we find ourselves in the position of the kingdom that is both Christ the King and us the heirs to the throne, and also Christ the most humble servant who is serving us. We want to be second on both ends of that scale. Christ is king, and we have been given heirship to the throne. You have been made an heir to the very throne of God in Christ Jesus. And you've been called to be the most humble servant, to follow in the most humble servant's footsteps, serving the servants. I experienced that moment last week. We had a really bad storm If you live on 12 between here and Niles, anybody live somewhere around that between here and Niles spot? Nobody? Man, the storm just ripped through there. And I, here in my naivety, was going to Niles. And when I got in my car here, it was sprinkling. And by the time I got halfway to Niles, it was the worst storm I've ever been in. I don't even have anything to compare it to. It was as bad, and I've been in hurricanes in Florida, and I've almost been struck by lightning on the golf course by maybe 30 feet, but we were in a golf cart, and so we were on rubber. Thank God. But that was just one lightning strike. In that little drive, I was almost hit by lightning 5 times. One of them landed so close to my car that my ears were ringing, and every time I blinked, all I could see was light. The rest just felt like they were that close, but probably weren't. But it was as bad as I've ever seen, and I couldn't, there was nowhere to go. It's just one long road, and you stop and you're stuck in it. You turn around and you're still in it. And so I just went, and I sang. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, you who rule the wind and water, stand by me. And I made it here. I don't even know. I don't know how. There wasn't another car on the road because they're so much wiser than me. I should have probably looked at the radar. I knew it was supposed to rain, but man, it ripped through there like I've never seen before. Why are we waiting for these oh my God moments to humble ourselves and say, we are powerless without your power? To lower ourselves and worship the one who holds the throne and the lowest position, the one who is both the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Our position of power resides in holding in balance the greatness and the humility of Christ, and knowing that you've been created in that same image. Amen. I invite us to stand and